Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see all of you out here today. We'd like to, of course, welcome our visitors who are with us. I want to talk about something this morning that, to me, it's become really important, especially lately. Just stuff that's happening in general all over. Everybody, if you would, turn back to Proverbs 6, to our scripture reading that was read this morning, Proverbs, the 6th chapter. We're going to read that in just a moment. In our Bible class, we're going through sort of a chronological study of Acts and of the epistles. Right now, we're in Acts chapter 17. That's where we ended this morning. But earlier, we were studying James before we sort of picked up out of James, went back into Acts. That was the last epistle that we looked at. And there's a section in James 4 where James talks about oaths and swearing, and he says, you know, don't swear by the temple of the gold and all this stuff. And he repeats the things that his brother had said in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. One of the reasons why I want to talk about this morning is just sort of the state that I see the world in. And what happens and how people sort of behave toward one another. And in particular in leadership, not just now, but throughout history as well. Just to illustrate how prevalent this problem is, especially amongst those who lead. Does anyone here think they can trust a politician? Yeah. Today we're going to talk about lying liars who lie. The fact that lying seems to be so prevalent in our society, I think, should be axiomatic. I mean, most of us can look around and see where people just don't tell the truth. I want to go back to our scripture reading for the morning. Have any of you guys, before we go back to reading it again, have any of you guys ever, you know, you're scrolling through Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever, and, you know, your finger is just swiping on your phone or on your tablet. You guys see those lists, you know, 10 things or 6 things, you know, things you need to be afraid of in life. Things that, you know, you really need to know right now. Things you never knew about this thing before. I have to admit, perfectly, just from a personal perspective, I tap on those a lot. Just because I'm curious. Not because I necessarily believe any of the things they're telling me. But we've spoken enough, and you guys have heard me talk about it enough before, that what people tend to do, especially in power, is they try to control us very often through fear. These are the things you need to be afraid of. How many of you guys, you know, you go out, you're watching the evening news, and what happens right before the commercial break? When we get back, here's this new thing that you need to hear about that's going to scare you, you know, scare the bejesus out of you, so you got to stay here for the commercial break, and you can't go anywhere because we're not going to tell you about it until you get back. I'm curious to see what they're going to try and tell me now to sort of influence me one way or another, so I very often I admit to clicking on those. But lists fascinate me. Whenever we find a list in Scripture, a lot of times it's generally pretty important. And our scripture reading this morning is one of those lists. So we're going to look down this list right now. And if we ever find a list, I mean, these are things that God hates. We should pay attention, right? If there's a list of things that God hates, we should pay attention to that so we don't do those things because God hates those things. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I mean, this is actually a list that we should be paying attention to. All those things on Facebook, yeah, they're not really that important. But he says there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. We've talked about Hebrew poetry before, how, you know, you take a number, sometimes they would repeat things. And when they ever made a list of numbers, if, for example, in Amos and in, you know, for 3 transgressions and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment. When you have a number, instead of repeating the number, they just add 1. But then what they do is they, let's just go through the list. Haughty eyes. We all know what that means. Pride. Somebody thinks they're better than everybody else. a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among his brothers. Now we have seven, but we also have six, because do you see which one is listed twice? Lying. Why that one? Of all the things to be listed twice, why is lying the one that gets picked to be listed twice? Why not hands that shed innocent blood and those who commit murder? Because it seems to me that by, you know, our human evaluation, murder is worse than it wasn't me. We tend to classify things that way. But why is it, for all of the reasons that we might come up with, for all of the ways in which we tend to evaluate sins or crimes or errors, why is it lying that God picks to be mentioned twice? I think that's a valuable question to ask. And I'll tell you what I've come up with. God is truth. God is light. God is truth. Lying is the very opposite of what he is. That's why. You know, if we want to please God, if we want to live, if we want to empower God to work in our lives, to forge us into his image, the way we talked about a few years ago from 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, becoming partakers of the divine nature. If we want for that power to work in our lives, to be crafted in his image, we have to be people of truth. We cannot be people who lie. We cannot sort of just go into this, you know, just throw ourselves headlong into dishonesty, you know, just not caring about the consequences. We cannot be people who cannot be trusted. How many times does the scripture say God is faithful? His steadfast love endures forever. Faithfulness and trustworthiness are core elements of the character of God. And if we're to be his people, they should be core elements of our character as well. Maybe that's why lying is the one that's mentioned twice. But if there's any other reason that we might need, turn over to John chapter 8. This is one of my, this whole section that begins in John 7 and goes through the end of John 10 is probably my favorite part in the Gospel of John, just like personally for my own idiosyncratic reasons. You know, a lot of people ask me, hey, what's your favorite book in the Bible? Dude, don't ask a preacher that. Seriously, please don't. But if I have to distill it down, then I have to say, okay, Old Testament or New Testament? New Testament, probably John. And one of the reasons is this section of text right here. Because it is so powerful in its content. And what Jesus said is so crucial to our understanding as God's people. You know, one of my little pet peeves that you guys have heard before is that I just don't like the way two of the verses are translated here in verse 24 and then again down in verse 26, or verse 28, I mean. You know, there's this, you know, in verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that most texts say, I am he, you will die in your sins. It's not what he says in Greek. What he says in Greek is, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And of course, he's making a very deliberate reference back to Exodus chapter 3. And you see, the Pharisees who are listening to him understand this because they ask this question, hold on a minute, who are you saying you are? They pick up on it because after all, these are intelligent men. The discussion continues, and then he reiterates it again in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me, and he who has sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, and I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he says these things, many believe in him. So he says to those who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then there's this whole discussion of where they come from, and they pick up on this freedom concept, and they say, well, we're Abraham's offspring, and we've never been a slave to anybody. Egypt? The Philistines? The Ammonites? The Edomites? The Arabs? Babylon? Take your pick. And then he begins to talk about fathers. And they reiterate in verse 39, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says something very important here. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. Meaning that, you know, if you're going to claim that someone is your father, you should behave like you're a member of that family. This is the way things work, okay? So if that's the family you're going to belong to, so act like it. Do the things that he did. But you, now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. And then he says something. He says, you are doing the works your father did. And then they say to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Meaning we don't come from idolaters. But actually, if you look at Genesis chapter 11, the family of Abraham were idolaters before. So they're not correct about that. But then Jesus says, if your father were God, then you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I have not come of my own accord, but he sent me. And this, you know, continues. And what he ends up saying to them is simply this. You are of your father, the devil. He is a liar. Verse 44. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Maybe the reason lying is mentioned twice is because that's the core characteristic of Satan. And when we speak, we sound like our father, whoever that is. Our speech matters. What we do, what we say is important. And it reveals who we are inside. Because after all, isn't that what Jesus says? It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. And he says that out of the heart spring all forms of iniquity, lawlessness, sin, unrighteousness. What is it about lying that is in particular so bad? And why? What's the effect? We're going to look at some things that lying does and why it's so bad. And we're going to be looking at it primarily from the Proverbs. The first thing that people do when they lie, one of the most common reasons why people lie, just to be perfectly honest, is they attempt to hide sin. We all know this one, right? People lie because they attempt to hide sin. You know, whoever, Proverbs 26, 24 to 26, whoever hates or disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart, when he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed before the assembly. No matter what you do, no matter how pretty your speech is, no matter how well you try to cover up your sin, when you lie to do it, it always comes out. It did not work for David. It will not work for you. There is no such thing as incognito mode before God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. You know, we see this in humanity constantly. You know, one of the easy and clearest ways to see it is in children. Did you do that? No. How did it happen? I don't know. I remember one time, this is one of my earliest memories. One of my earliest memories of all time. It involves me sitting on top of the refrigerator, legs akimbo, with the cookie jar between them, open, cookie in my hand, happily chowing down. And Mom can attest to this. She remembers this as well. I have vague memories of sort of the that occurrence. I don't remember all the events that led up to it because I was probably around two and a half at the time. But what had happened is my brother, who is older than myself, my cousin, also older than myself, what they had done is they had sort of arranged boxes and chairs around the kitchen because they knew I was a climber, by the way. For those of you who don't know, I climbed up things constantly as a child, as a young child. But I didn't ever want to get down, which made it sort of a nightmare for Mom and Dad. I just wanted to stay up there. But they arranged boxes and chairs because I had no fear. And I climbed up the boxes and the chairs, and I got on top of, you know, on top of the counter, and then from there on top of the refrigerator. And there I am sitting happily chowing down on the cookies. And I remember them down on the ground with their hands looking at me saying, "Give us some, give us some, give us some." All I did was keep eating them cookies. They didn't get nothing. Sorry, that's the way I was. But what happened is Mom comes in on the scene and she asks the question, "How did he get up there?" What was their answer? "I don't know. We came here and it was like this." That is not what happened. Now, that's sort of a childish and humorous illustration of the problem. We all get any one of us who's raised children has seen that. But the problems don't go away when we get older. And the ramifications of that episode when I was two and a half, or to be honest, in the long term, are not really that big a deal. I mean, yes, in the moment, it's important to teach your children to be honest, okay? You've got to punish them. They have to be consequences, right? You have to teach honesty. You have to ingrain it in them. But in the long term, how destructive was my eating a couple of cookies? Really not that bad. The consequences for Uriah were much worse. David's lies cost Uriah his life. And we can walk through history and look at the consequences of what happens when people lie, especially those in power. From Nixon to Bill Clinton to Hitler saying to Stalin, "No, I will never invade Russia." How many people died because of that? When leaders lie, lives are lost. And when we're talking about attempting to hide sin in particular, one of the things that we find is that lying and dishonesty go hand in hand with almost every other sin. Incognito mode on your browser, what are you using it to cover up? It's a problem. Lying also leads to strife. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. Proverbs 26:18-19. This is, by the way, one of my favorites. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I'm only joking." Remember that on April 1st. A madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. How many times have people said something about someone else lying to destroy someone else's reputation, to deliberately cause problems, to stir up trouble. We're reading in the book of Acts this morning. That was what our Bible class was about. We're reading about what happened to Paul and Silas in Thessalonica and in Berea at the end of class. And that's exactly what happened. You have people from the synagogue in Thessalonica lying, stirring up trouble, you know, deliberately causing strife. And by the way, you notice if we go back to Proverbs chapter 6, back to the very text that we started with this morning, you know, along with a man who bears false witness and breathes out lies, what's right after that? One who causes strife amongst his brothers. Do you guys remember our annual theme from 2 years ago? This year, it's, of course, it's being a good soldier of Jesus. Last year, it was the way of love from 1 Corinthians 13. The year before that was James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, the wisdom from above versus the wisdom from below. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Sometimes people get caught doing that. And they lie and they say, I was just joking. I wasn't really serious. This one happened when I was a teenager. We had just moved from San Diego to Los Angeles. And mom and dad, really dad was the impetus behind this, had bought a house in Woodland Hills in L.A. That's enough of a saga in and of itself that can be told at a later date and in other forums. But they were sort of replacing all of the door handles, the fittings, the sink faucets, and dad wanted everything to look uniform, wanted everything to look the same. And he happened to pick this particular color of fitting that my brother and I didn't seem to like very much. And so we were just the two of us. We were talking about it, and we didn't know dad could hear us. We didn't know he was there. And it was he that sort of picked everything out. And we were talking about, man, dude, these things look ugly, man. They just don't look good. And dad comes storming around the corner and says, well, you can buy all new ones if you want. Pulls the classic dad line. Now, keep in mind, I'm like 19, Tim's 21. And we're like, we're just joking. Because dad was really upset about that. But imagine what the consequences are. And again, that's something that is fairly, okay, the color and the tone, the patina on a particular, on your sink faucets, okay? Not that big of a deal in the long run. But what about when the consequences and the scales are larger? I was just kidding. I didn't really mean it. What if a man goes to prison because of it? There's something that happens in the gaming community. I don't know if you guys have heard of this term. Ken probably has. Swatting. And I don't mean like swatting as in to swat someone. It's something that happens. If you're playing games online, like Call of Duty or any game, what happens occasionally is a player enters the match that is just better than you and proceeds to, as we say in the gaming world, wipe the floor with you. And you cannot compete. Well, that's life. Suck it up and move on. Some people, though, can't take that. They can't take the embarrassment and the shame, the frustration, the rage that happens. And so what they do is this thing that initially started as a prank, but it often has deadly consequences. They call it swatting. What they do is they use some tricks to discover the person's IP address, which is sort of like, it tells you where they are. You can find out where a person is physically through their IP address, unless you know how to mask it. But a lot of people don't bother when they're gaming. So they take the IP address, and we're talking like you can get someone's physical address from their IP address. You can get the actual physical address of where they are from their IP address. Yeah, is that scary to you guys? So that's really scary, isn't it? Someone can find your IP address. And by the way, that's sort of publicly broadcast, okay? Your IP, anyone can find that out if they know what they're doing. And if they know what they're doing, they can take that IP address and find out where you physically are in the world. So what people do is they get the IP address, they find the physical location, and then they call the police department in that city, or they call the sheriff's department in that county, and they call in a bomb threat at that location. So what happens is the SWAT team shows up, hence swatting. People have died because of that. Simply because they, as we say, were schooling someone else in a game. And someone got mad and decided to have a little fun. I was only joking. Humor is no disguise for lying or for any other sin. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbors and says, I was only joking. What's going on with this? Okay. For some reason, it's not. Oh, man. Oh, well. We'll move on. I seem to have lost my visual connection for some reason. I just hit the button. Oh, well. Third thing that lying does is it cheats people. Lying cheats people out of what is rightfully theirs sometimes. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Bread gained by deceit, Proverbs 20, verse 17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Speaking of things that we click on the internet, clickbait, right? One of the things that always fascinates me, not that I attempt to emulate any of them at all, but one of the things that fascinates me is when, you know, you see a list of, you know, people who figured out how to cheat the system or how to game the system to use it to their advantage. I'm a sucker for those. Just because I'm so fascinated by how creative some people can be at trying to cheat some system. And they'll do it for things like Starbucks. By the way, if you're not aware, you can join like Starbucks, whatever membership thing they have, and you provide them with your birthday, and you get a free coffee on your birthday. Okay? So, yeah, remember that. For those of you who love coffee, Dean. Get a free coffee on your birthday. What one guy did is he registered at Starbucks at different times, at different locations, with different workers on shifts so they wouldn't see him at the same place. And he registered with 366 different identities. 366 because he wanted to make sure he'd get one on leap day. Okay? So what he has is he had a system of cards for Starbucks where he'd go in and it would get scanned and it would show that today was his birthday as long as he remembered the right card. So every single day of the year, he could walk, even on February 29th. I'm not kidding. This is like a guy did this. Free coffee. Every day. Now, some of us might look at that and think, clever. But that's fraud, which is a felony. Guess what happened to the guy? Jail time. And they sued him for financial damages. A few years ago, there was this thing that got released. It was called the Panama Papers. Did anybody read about that, hear about that? The Panama Papers, what it essentially was some journalists had done some because it happened in Panama. It all surrounded a legal firm in Panama. Thank you, Marcus, for working on trying to get it back. Much appreciated. It surrounded a legal firm that was mostly in Panama and other parts of the Caribbean. And what it was essentially, what the purpose of the firm was to create shell companies that were sort of anonymous. It was for the purposes of purchasing real estate. And these shell companies were owned by the wealthy, celebrities, politicians, some of whose names you should recognize. And these real estate purchases were not traceable back to the actual owner because the property was owned by the shell company, but it was located off the shores of the United States, so there's no way to accurately assess it for property tax income purposes. And so these people bought up acres and acres and hectares and multi-million dollar homes to cheat the system. And the list of the powerful who did this were not just from the United States. We're talking French, German, British, Irish, you name it, all over. Everybody was cheating the system. And the journalists that broke the story almost got killed in Central America. Cheating the system is never smart. Okay? It's never smart, the way some people have defined it. It's always sinful. Pay what you owe. And it'll eventually be punished by God, if not by men. And that's the truth. The fourth thing that lying often does is that it perverts justice. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. By the way, one of the instances in Proverbs 6 wasn't just a lying tongue, but a man who bears false witness and breathes out lies. Proverbs 12, 17. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Proverbs 14, 25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Ah, excellent, awesome. We have, is that one on or is that one off? We have it back. Okay, it should, there we go. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out, or a true witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. You know, I am not unaware of the irony of being in a room filled predominantly with African American faces and other faces that are not Caucasian while standing here, this guy, and talking about how in our criminal justice system, how many people have been sent to jail or executed because someone lied on the witness stand? I'm not unaware of the irony. You guys don't need me to lecture you on this. You know this better than I do. I want for us just to take a step back for a moment and to imagine, what would our justice system be like if people just actually told the truth instead? What would it be like? People standing up to actually be witnesses and say, I saw this person do this. Or someone saying, no, it wasn't him, it was someone else. What would our nation be like if we just decided to tell the truth? For once, things would be awfully different, wouldn't they? In recent years, one of the things that has started to happen is DNA evidence has started to exonerate people who have already been executed. And most of them don't have my skin color. Because someone lied on the witness stand. And people died because of it. Because lying perverts justice. I want to close with one last scripture. What if, in our discussion of all this, what if we, just as a culture, as a society, as a people, decided to punish lying the way God said lying should be punished? Especially as it pertains to the criminal justice system. But we can take it outside the criminal justice system and just sort of apply it across the board, right? Do you guys know what the penalty for perjury is under the old law? It's not what you might think. Some people automatically jump the gun and say, it's the law of Moses, it must be death. Death was the penalty for a lot of crimes in the law of Moses. It was the penalty for idolatry. It was the penalty for sorcery, witchcraft. It was the penalty for adultery. It was the penalty for murder as well. It was the penalty for causing the death of an unborn child. That's one of the first laws that God gave to Israel after the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 21, but the penalty for perjury is actually a little different. It was flexible. It could be a whole host of things because it wasn't a constant. Well, there was one constant behind it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19 or read it on the screen if you choose. Verses 16 through 19. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is found is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And the rest shall hear and fear and never again commit any such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. It shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And the rest shall hear and fear and never again commit any such evil among you. I repeated that last bit. You see the point. So the penalty for perjury was this. If you lie about someone else trying to get them into trouble, whatever the punishment was for the thing that you lied about, that's the punishment you suffer. So if you lie and if you say someone committed a murder, guess what happens to you? You get stoned. If you lie and you say that your spouse committed adultery when they didn't, guess what happens to you? You get stoned, and not with weed. Sorry, that was our California joke. This is not acceptable. What if we did that? Would our justice system look any different? Would crimes and how they're punishment, how they're punished and who gets accused of a crime to begin with be different? When people lie, it perverts justice. One of the other things that's been happening, especially recently in the last couple of years, is that thousands, literally thousands of people who have been convicted of crimes are being released. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of police departments now and sheriff's departments put body cams on their deputies and officers. They have a camera that records what goes on. It's right here. You can see it on the chest. San Jose PD has some, I think, some officers. Santa Clara County Sheriff's. Milpitas has them on all their officers. But it records. And the officers can turn it on or off. But they're supposed to have it on when they're on duty. And what happens sometimes is the people who do these have gotten pretty clever, and it's actually recording even when it's off, it's just not saving. It's only saving a certain buffer, okay, a certain amount of time. And so when the officer turns it on, it doesn't start recording then. It's actually already recording. But what it does is it starts saving from whatever the maximum buffer is. So it saves a period of time before the officer actually turns on the camera. So a lot of times the officer turns it on, but he doesn't realize that it was actually, so it starts saving what happened before he actually turned it on. So whoever's looking at it actually sees before he turned it on for a while. And there have been officers who have been caught on their own body cams this way, planting drugs on people. Planting cocaine or heroin on people. And guess what happens then? Of course, that person that they planted the drugs on goes free. Of course, that's good. They should go free because they had drugs planted on them and they're being falsely accused of a crime. But what happens then is everyone else that officer has ever arrested has their convictions overturned because that officer cannot be trusted. They very often go on administrative leave. There's an internal investigation, an internal affairs investigation. And then more often than not, the officer is actually genuinely fired. And thank goodness for that, because we don't need cops like that on our streets. But what about all those people who actually did commit crimes that officer arrested? They get to go free. And they're ones who actually did commit crimes. There are some people who truly are guilty, who now get to go free because that officer lied about somebody else. Lying does nothing but destroy, more often than not. Now, I'm not going to get into moments this morning like when David was before the priest asking for bread. I'm not going to get into that. We can talk about that at another time. This morning is for lifestyle, for character, for fundamental principles about who we are. We can talk about exceptions and everything later on. And I do want to address that sometimes that does happen, okay? Sometimes that does happen. But the fundamental basic truth is that honesty is to be praised among God's people. And it's to be the tenet of our life. And also, it should be the thing that we demand from others. And we should call out sin. Well, I've been making this point a lot lately. We should call out sin where we see it and when we see it. And that includes lying. Because how else will the world become a more honest place unless it's held accountable for its sins? This dedication to truth is the offering that we give to God when we pledge ourselves to his service. We no more live through lies and deceit and through self-service, but we live through truth and honesty as much as possible in all things that are possible for us. Because God is faithful, and so are we. If you're here this morning and you want to give yourself to Jesus, what he asks of you is very simple. It's everything. If anyone would come after me and be my disciple, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you're ready to do that, to pledge yourself to the service of God, we have water prepared for your immersion into Christ. As Peter says, baptism now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the pledge to God of a good conscience. If you're here this morning and you're ready to do that, or if there's any other way at all we can serve you, please come forward and let us know what it is.